So I rewrote, taking on behalf of the panel, the liberty of rewriting our thesis as placemaking has become the norm, not the exception. But in light of COVID-19, destination-focused economic development should not abandon the enduring principles of placemaking. Rather, those principles must now incorporate enough mitigation to ensure sustained freedom and resulting consumer confidence required for healthy local markets. And I think that's especially important for local governments and for business leaders and community leaders to understand where we collect sales tax as one of the primary income streams for our local communities. Next slide. So how do we eat dinner at a restaurant wearing a mask? Anybody ask that question? Next slide, please. One thing hasn't changed: harnessing the authentic drivers. Our next opportunity, I'm talking about gateway planning, for example. Next slide. We were on the verge of a contract being hopefully adopted by the Stephenville City Council in Erath County on another historic redevelopment initiative that we've made a mainstay of our practice. And I asked myself the question, you know, what's the authentic driver? In Roanoke, it was really Babe's and Classic Cafe years ago. In McKinney, it's always been the Square. In Owensboro, Kentucky, it's being on the river. In Rogers, Arkansas, it's being the Frisco Front, the railroad, you know, the places we've been working in over the years. And the driver, next slide, please. In Stephenville, it sits on a park. And I don't know if I'm the only person who realized that, but if you can see on the left-hand side, the plan, the map, 140-acre park, literally one block away from downtown. And so I coined the phrase downtown on the park. I think Austin may be the only other capital city county seat that sits on a park. That is the authentic driver. It's got to be, right? It is what it is. It's like gravity. You can ignore it or not, but next slide, please. But I think the point is that the COVID-19 contagion, I think, has given us an opportunity to really focus on intentionality. And I use that word because we can be intentional in what we do, and communities and states that are intentional and creative and thoughtful are going to be the ones that are going to be successful in reimagining how placemaking, which requires human contact and requires what I call the hangout factor. So how are we going to hang out? We can be intentional about that. Street design itself has been, I think, for those of us been working in this area for years and years. And I was a lawyer for 15 years before changing careers, a patent box lawyer in Washington, D.C. I need to call my friends there. Those are definitely some connections to see what's really going on. But the streets were ultimately the key and have always been. So here's a quick graphic we did, you know, the appropriate architecture scale, the way the street furniture, if there's any, is designed, the relationship to the traffic, parking, human scale, traffic lights, etc. Next slide. But then I started thinking about, well, what do we need to do now to modify the design of streets to make them work in the new reality? Well, for example, you see that street art. You've got that butterfly in that water basin. Well, what if that piece of art, or right next to it, also becomes a sanitizer dispenser and a mask dispenser? And for busy streets where you can't widen the sidewalks, or you don't want to widen the sidewalks, what about one-way pedestrian circulation? I saw on the news a community in California that's doing that for one of their main streets. And then maybe it is widening sidewalks. But if that's the case, what's the cost assignment? Is it worth it? Are there other alternatives? And for those of you that have been to Italy, you don't necessarily have to have narrow, wide sidewalks to have walkable streets. And I think now we're actually making our sidewalks too wide in response. Next slide. The other principle that I think we don't want to abandon is authenticity. And we, until last year, we were working in Roanoke, leading the redevelopment of downtown Roanoke, Oak Street, for 14 years since 2004. And you can see on the left, the Rock Hotel, which was over $1 million, and that's on the top of it today. It's a Convention and Visitors Bureau. And Bonnie and Clyde had family there. And then, of course, on the right, I took that picture of that gentleman walking into Babe's in 2004. That tall Texan, that was the only Babe's that existed. And now there's new construction there. But the key, next slide, please. But the key was authenticity and the reinvention of Oak Street, which was just this terrible crown and crown and crown and crown and no place to walk. People would wait for 3 hours to go eat at Babe's on Saturday, and then they'd leave. So redesigning the street, though, to keep it authentic was the key, and working with Half ultimately in our design originally in the upper left, the master plan. The authenticity still depended on the street's design and its walkability. Next slide, please. And that was 2004, that was Oak Street. That was Oak Street in 2012, just after the reconstruction and the reopening of it. But you can see on the left how new construction is really authentically designed in the context of the classic town of Texas. Next slide.